Amy, good morning.
Good morning, Tess. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for joining us. Now, to start off, does Prime Minister Dutton actually have any evidence at all to back up his claims?
Well, actually, the opposition leader, Bill Shorten, challenged Peter Dutton over these comments in Parliament yesterday. And Dutton sought to, I suppose, clarify that who he was talking about were second and third generation Lebanese Muslim people. And the evidence that he put forward, which of course came after the fact of the comments themselves, was that of the last 33 people charged with terrorism-related offences in Australia, 22 of them were of that background. So that's the sum total of evidence that I've been able to identify as being put forward in support of what is language that's highly inflammatory and potentially, as you noted, read to refer to very many more people than Peter Dutton says he was referring to.
And it is very, very inflammatory language that was used. What are some of the potential consequences of saying something like this in such a public way?
Well, I wrote about this yesterday with a colleague of mine, Amy Elton, on The Conversation. And if you have a look at the comments page there, I think it's illustrative of one of the main concerns about this sort of public discourse, and that is that it gives permission to people who are already in a panic or are already persuaded that refugees and asylum seekers who come by boat particularly are a threat to Australia and to the Australian way of life, to bring those positions further to the fore and to engage in commentary that has, you know, xenophobic and often racist overtones.
You did mention there the panics, and I know you've spoken about moral panics before regarding refugees. Could you expand a little bit on that for us?
So the idea of a moral panic, I suppose, is where you have a widespread feeling of fear in the community about the well-being of society and the identification of a particular group as being the source of whatever the problem is. Obviously, in this case, we're talking about a moral panic regarding asylum seekers who try to reach Australia by boat. And these are people who, as we know, have been described as illegal people, which, of course, is a fallacy from a legal point of view. We also see in government discourse, media sources, and certainly in public commentary more broadly, talk about, for example, waves or an inundation of asylum seekers, and that type of language is indicative of a panic that is disproportionate to the risk and that is unfairly judging of the people we're talking about, more than 90% of whom have been up until this point confirmed to be genuine refugees. So these are desperate, vulnerable people who feel they have no other option but to try and flee persecution in their homeland by sea.
Which is, of course, quite a tragic situation. We do see a lot of it on the news. Now, I do hate to bring up Trump. We've seen a lot of him lately. He has been everywhere. But just to bring him up one more time, We all know his stance on refugees. It is quite negative, I guess, would be one way to put it. Do you think that the Trump presidency will have any effect on the way Australia treats refugees?
It's really hard to say for a few reasons. Number one, because we don't know how much of what Trump has said he's going to follow through on. And some of his comments have been very extreme. So, for example, at one point he promised to ban Muslim immigration. He's been caught on video advocating for a register of Muslims in the US. My chief concern in terms of the relationship between Australia and the US on refugees is that our government has just announced a deal to send refugees who are currently in mandatory immigration detention on Manus Island and Nauru to the US. Now, first of all, we don't know whether a Trump administration is actually going to accept this deal that has obviously been made with the Obama administration. If they do accept these people, then I think we need to be very cautious as to what sort of protections are going to be available to them. We've seen already an increase in instances of incitement to violence towards refugees and Muslim people are particularly at risk in the US. And I have great concern that this type of third country resettlement that Australia is trying to achieve could well exacerbate the already very poor state of mental health for a lot of these very vulnerable people who have suffered terrible things in their homelands, have then been detained indefinitely by Australia in very poor conditions and are now mostly mentally unwell.
Now, Amy, just before we do let you go, jumping back to Australia to end off on, a lot of the attitudes and rhetoric we have seen surrounding refugees in Australia, we know it quite well. We have to be tough on refugees. We can't be soft on them. Stop the boats. The very hardline approach. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there is a chance that we'll see an end to that way of thinking anytime soon?
The optimist in me hopes that that's going to be the case. I think that there's been a very tight bipartisan approach on this for many years now, and it's going to be very difficult for example, the Labor Party to break with the government on this because it's seen as such a political essential to convince the community that Australia is tough on border protection. Of course, this is a relatively new phenomenon, so yes, it could change. And the first sign of that, I think, came last week when Labor voted against the government's proposed ban on ever giving visas of any kind to people who tried to reach Australia by boat since 2013. So we're talking about people who are refugees, who may be resettled in third countries, who may in future seek to come to Australia as business visitors or as tourists, so on. The government wants to ban them from ever getting a visa to come here in any instance. And Labor called those policies ridiculous, cruel, unnecessary, and voted against that. And I think that was the first sign of the possibility that we may see a challenge to the very tight bipartisan arrangement that has persisted for many years now to the detriment of asylum seekers and refugees.
It is a very tough situation. Amy, thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
Thanks very much, Tess.